Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today on the 19th of April. Now, today, on the 15th, I said tax day was the 15th. Then I said it was changed to the 18th. Well, then it was changed to today because the IRS had a glitch. So really, it's tax day is today. So if you didn't get it in, or for some reason the your e-signatures weren't working, that was the big news. All right. Hey, 19th of April, 2022, 7:06 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared's at the helm.
Good morning.
And what national day do we have today?
Today is the Remembrance Day for the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh, my goodness. Do you remember that? Were you? Do you? That
was so long ago. I was 9 when I happened.
You were 9 years old. Yeah. Yeah, how horrible that was. It was a person or maybe, two people, maybe three at the most, who evil. And put to death, by the way,
yep.
By the state of Oklahoma. Didn't take long either. Killed all those people and children. Yeah, it's something to look back on and kind of like horror and terror and hope that pray that we never have another home one like that. So
yeah.
Oh, what's our weather look like?
It's currently 48 degrees. It looks like today we have an 80% chance of showers. Then tonight, cloudy. High of 64, low of 44. Tomorrow, rain with a high of 58, a low of 45. Thursday, showers, and then less likely a Thursday night with a high of 59, a low of 44. Friday, rain likely, then mostly clear Friday night with a high of 65, a low of 43. Saturday is going to be sunny with a high of 73, a low around 47. And Sunday, sunny with a high around 80 and a low around 51.
Okay. Hey, your weather reports are brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, been in the business well over 20 years. Chuck and Judy Kenny started this years ago, decades ago. And their whole, their motto for their company is our customers are warm friends. And that's what they want. They treat their customers as friends. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can reach them at 365-3793. Their customer service is just outstanding. Now, on the phone, we have Jenny Ray LaRue, who is running for governor. Good morning, Jenny Ray.
Good morning. Good morning. How are y'all this morning?
Fine. Now, you're down in L.A. someplace, right?
I am. I'm in between LAX Airport and John Wayne Airport, headed to Orange County this morning.
Okay. So what's the traffic like down there at 7:00 in the morning?
You know what? It's definitely more traffic than in Shasta County, I can tell you that. it's about moving pretty well though, thankfully. We're on our way and making good time.
Wow. 7:00 in the morning, it's moving. It's been a couple of decades. Maybe not a couple, but it's been at least a decade since I've been down in L.A. trying to drive in their traffic down there. Jenny Ray, why are you running for governor?
I'm running to revive the California dream. And do you think traffic moving in L.A. is the height of the impossible? I think I've got more stories for you this morning. I really believe that we are at a tipping point in our moment of California where we have the opportunity to install a new governor in office in November. And I'm running to do just that. I'm a businesswoman. I've been in business for over 20 years. I'm a mom. I have kids that are in public school. And the business that I own today is one part of what my husband and I do. We also have a family farm in Shasta County. So I'm really touched by a lot of the issues that face people from all over California, and I'm excited to share some of my vision and the solutions for what we can do to make a difference in California today with you.
Well, now you've got a a BA in economics from the University of Virginia and an MBA from Columbia Business School. I think, don't you think that disqualifies you for running for office because you have a grasp of the economic issues?
I would certainly hope that that wouldn't be the case, but it does seem like the evidence.
Well, I mean, I'm just
right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Newsom and his cohort, they still haven't figured out the new math that they're forcing on people.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you know, when you remove supply from the system, such as we have with housing in California, prices go up. Very simple, and you learn this on day one in economics when you. You know, remove workers from your labor force, then prices go up for labor. And California has been on this, you know, wage price spiral, which is what we're seeing nationally now and really one of the main causes of inflation. We've been doing that to ourselves through legislation for over 20 years in California.
Oh, it's horrible. I mean, let's start at the top of things, okay? Let's start with the fact that that we're the richest and the poorest, poorest state in the nation. Now, if you're driving through L.A., you must be seeing, tent after tent of homeless down there.
That's exactly right. We have over 180,000 unsheltered homeless in California today, which is 51% of the nation's unsheltered homeless, whereas our state only represents about 12% of the overall state population, so we have certainly more than our fair share of homelessness. We've created very, very hospitable environments from a regulatory standpoint for our homeless without actually solving root cause problems. I would consider that the height of inhumanity, actually. And in addition, we have a homes crisis, not just a homeless crisis, but we've underbuilt in California, so we have a 6% growth rate in the last decade, but a 2% housing growth rate. And that's naturally going to lead to these insane prices that make California unaffordable for so many people.
Well, Gavin Newsom promised to build, 600,000 houses?
That doesn't quite do it in our state for what we need. The math doesn't work out there.
Well, he hasn't
even. We're not even close to where that is.
No, I don't think he's, I think the number is under 20,000. Can you really, I mean, you're a very intelligent woman, and obviously, and you've been on the show before and we've talked. How can Gavin Newsom keep getting by with, they talk about Democrats, Republicans, the numbers. How can Gavin Newsom continue to lead this spiral, this downward spiral in our state? And people not realize this.
I would argue that he's been able to do it up until now because our economy wasn't suffering. And the economy is really the root cause of most people's decision-making. So even last year in the REITs, he pleaded with people and told them, we have a surplus. We're fine. Everything is going well. This is a partisan recall. Don't pay attention to it. And nobody talks about it. We're getting directly. We were still on, the greatest amount of stimulus we'd ever seen from the federal government. We had unemployment checks out the wazoo. Everybody said, okay, we'll believe you on that. The problem is that the gig is up, right? You know, so the issue right now is that gas prices are really affecting everyday workers. And this morning alone, I was just reading about CPUW, which is actually different than the inflation index for all Americans. It's for working Americans, working class Americans.
Yeah.
And that inflation rate is higher than the 8.5% that we saw in March, which is still the highest that we've seen in the last 40 years. And what happened 40 years ago was that Jimmy Carter was voted straight out of office. Ronald Reagan was in to set things right. And we're going to see that same kind of change in California because when you affect our working class, our middle class, in their pocketbook, they begin to look for change. And that's why I'm so excited about having this moment. It's a historic moment in California history because we've been able to paste over a lot of our social issues and the implosion of a lot of other issues in our society with the thriving economy, no more. And the House of Cards is falling down, and what's left is not good for the average California. We need to fix those issues at the root cause.
We're here with Jenny Ray LaRue, who's running for governor, and she's a local lady. She's got a farm up here and she has a ranch. Is it farm or ranch? I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what the difference is, really.
I don't really know either. But we have 181 acres. So some people call that a ranch and some people call that a small holding. So it depends on where I am. If I'm in the Central Valley, it's a farm. If I'm in the North State, it seems like a ranch is a more appropriate word for it.
Okay. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you about the lack of protection for the people of our state and your thoughts on that. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Community. What can I say? It's locally run, a local board of directors. It's been in the business for 15 years and it's just been announced. It's one of the top banks in the United States and the top 100 banks in the United States. Can you believe that? Starting right here in our town. Cornerstone Community Bank's whole emphasis has been helping to move local dreams forward since the day they opened. 4 branches, one at 500 Riverside Way in Red Bluff, 1845 California Street, right down the street from us right here. And, of course, the main branch at 192 Hartnell Avenue, Cobblestone Shopping Center, and the newest branch over in Anderson at 2727 Ventura Street. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know staying active can reduce your risk of developing Alzheimer's and dementia by 45%? 2.5 hours of moderate physical activity each week is recommended. Activity for 15 to 20 minutes a day can make a difference. Take a walk, go for a swim, or dance in your living room. For more healthy brain tips and resources on Alzheimer's and dementia, visit ShastaHealthyBrain.com. This message is from Shasta County Health and Human Services, supported by the California Department of Public Health Alzheimer's Disease Program Healthy Brain Initiative.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
One 100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Did you know Shasta County District Attorney's Office, under the leadership of Stephanie Bridget, has a history of violating the U.S. Constitution by withholding potentially favorable evidence from a defendant? Recently, a Shasta County judge was compelled to dismiss several felony charges for this very reason. Instead of apologizing, the DA's office retaliated by preventing the same judge from hearing another trial and sending a clear message to other county judges. If you expose us, we will retaliate. Stephanie Bridget's leadership has failed once again. Paid for by a Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidates or candidates committee.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. Okay, today is tax day. It's the 19th. Get your taxes in today. I know I keep changing day, but it's because the government is doing that. 7:20 in the morning on the line is Jenny Ray LaRue, who is running for governor of our great state. And one of the things that, and good morning, Jenny Ray.
Good morning. It feels wrong to have a conversation with a Republican on tax day, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know what? Dave Ramsey, who's got a show on our station, it's, you know, this guy is like the second largest audience in the United States.
Dave Ramsey's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. He put something on Facebook that said, if you had to go down every week and write a check to the government, you know, about how much they're taking out of your pay, you'd think about that. And, you know, I shared that. And some people are getting angry. Oh, well, what would you do? You know, if you're in Social Security, you know, they took it wrong, totally wrong, about the amount of money we pay for, you know, paying taxes. But that's another question. I want to talk to you about the lack of personal safety or the feeling of crime taking over on our streets and in our communities because of the things that have happened over the last 7-8 years. The government, what you said is the clearest sign that government is failing is when it can't protect its people.
Correct. And let me just expound on what exactly is going on. We can pinpoint the moment when this really began. And it's not just a feeling of a lack of safety, it's actually real. California has become a higher crime state since 2015 with the passage of Prop 47 and then the further passage of AB 109. Prop 47 was labeled the Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act, which is tremendously ironic because it basically began to remove sentencing from certain criminals. And what we've seen since then, really under Gavin Newsom, is a systematic release of prisoners from our prisons. In fact, he has closed two prisons, one of them in Susanville, which is slated for closure this year. And the closing of that prison means that we're removing almost 650 people from our fire inmate crews. That prison has been a work release prison. We are closing our juvenile detention center. That means that our juveniles will be in high max security prisons, which is a major problem for hardening criminals and creating lifetimes of crime instead of rehabilitation. And Gavin Newsom has proven that he doesn't care about our communities, he doesn't care about our kids, he doesn't care about anything except for releasing criminals into our communities. And it has to stop. It is part of why people are frustrated with California, and they don't necessarily know the root cause of it, but we can pinpoint the exact moment when these legislation pieces began and how they began to destroy everything that we know and hold dear in our safe communities in California.
Well, one of the things you said is that you will, besides putting us, by the way, that closing of the Susanville prison is going to have I'm not going to say destroy. That's not the right word. But it's going to have a very significant impact on that town. When you take that many... You take that many people who work there, who've got good jobs and high-paying jobs, and you take them out of the community. And it's, you know, Susanville's kind of out there on its own, except for that, since the logging and ranching's gone away.
No one has been able to explain to me any reason why that is the case. We have a $60 billion surplus, which is a larger surplus than the budget of 42 states in the United States. our surplus is large enough to keep us safe, it's our leaders that refuse to do so. And the Susanville closing is a great example of that. Why would we close a prison when we have a surplus like this? When we have criminals on our street, when high crime is up, why would we close a prison? It doesn't make any sense.
The other, another huge problem, and I agree, you know, just down, we were in Sacramento when they had the firefight there between two gangs, that killed killed at least one innocent person and maybe two others. And it was in a place that police knew there was problems there, and they knew that they'd had problems there before, and yet there were no police in that area when it started. And that to me is, if you know there's problems and it's been problems there before in that same area, why you wouldn't police that? Anyway.
And policing is an issue, but let's actually talk about the real issue there.
Okay.
The two guys that were the perpetrators of those crimes were on the street because of Gavin Newsom's policies. One of them was released early from prison under those two laws that I just told you about.
Yeah.
And the second one was a felon, but under the sanctuary state was not reported to ICE. And so we have two laws that are directly related to Gavin Newsom's policies that led to that firefight. And it was precious. He tried to blame guns for about 3 hours before he realized that it was his policies that put the criminals back on the streets, and he shut up about it. But it was an absolutely insane issue. So policing, sure, is an issue, but how frustrating is it right now for our police force to spend more time writing people into jail than the people are spending in jail? Right, they're just being released back onto the streets before the paperwork's even finished. And under these laws, there's no way that we can keep the streets safe, even with less policing.
I thoroughly agree, because one of them, the DA, it's him, the DA's office, said, "Do not release this guy." And he was,
that's exactly right.
Do not release this guy. If you release him, he's going to be back in trouble. And they didn't release him then. They waited a couple months before they released him. And that's one of the guys that he may still be in the hospital, but he was one of the shooters there, he and his brother. Okay, let's move on to water. I mean, right.
Other happy things. Yeah.
And other happy things. I mean, California and water, this is just, even though we've been getting some, you know, rain lately, we're in deep trouble. We're in deep trouble with water. I mean, we're talking about rice farmers letting their fields go fallow this year.
Yeah, I mean, even look at acid, right? Acid for 118 years has had water deliveries every single year. This will be the first year in history that those water deliveries are not completed. So this is an absolute devastating issue that we have. And the most frustrating thing is that for a long time, even when I lived in the suburbs in Reading, I didn't know what the source of our water issues were. I thought, because the media was very simplistic in its talking about it, that our issue was drought, that not enough rain fell from the sky. What I didn't recognize is that we have a bigger issue in California, which is mismanagement of the water that we have. And our water projects were designed to satisfy the needs of Californians for 5 years or more in a dry period. And this year alone, in December, what did we do? We left our sluice gates open instead of closing them because it was, quote, too early for the rain to come. Well, if the rain is falling, we need better management. We need them to close the gates and save the water. And so I've been increasingly frustrated the closer that I get to the water problem at exactly how much we could solve through better management, increased storage, an increase in the use of recycling technologies, and even on our coastal communities in partnership with nuclear desalination. So we have solutions to our water problems. We don't have as leaders that are willing to get it done.
You know, one of the things I see in your things that you want to accomplish, it was water recycling. I don't know why that we're pouring billions of gallons of water out into the ocean instead of recycling it. Do you have?
It's an excellent question.
I mean, I think what they say, 3 billion gallons of water goes out from L.A. on in a pipe big enough to drive an 18-wheeler through, about 3 miles out into the ocean. Why aren't we recycling?
Seems like we should do that. Do something with that. Yeah, you know, I visited the Orange County Water District, which is one of the best recyclers of water in our state. They have state-of-the-art technology. And I'll tell you what the issue is. It's the same issue as everything else that we see in California. Too much regulation, too little permitting, and a governor who does not give a crap about the people of the state. He cares about his own political future more than he cares about solving problems in California. And if he wanted to solve problems in California, we would provide, you know, very inexpensive bond funding or grants to the districts to put in place the exact technology that's already being used in the state to recycle our water. We would be capturing that water that's flowing out. We would have the Delta pump on, which he could do by executive order, capturing the water that's going down the Sacramento River and out to the Delta. You know, we can see exactly how much water needs to go out to avoid saltwater intrusion, and we are so far above that that we're losing millions of households of water sometimes in a single day. And in rainy periods like what we're doing right now, we can see that the mismanagement that's really leading to this loss of water. And it doesn't have to be that way. With new appointments in the water board and with leadership from the top of the state, we could make a difference in water immediately.
You know, we're going to take another break. Can I hold you for one more segment? I know you've got a lot of things going on today.
I am all yours. I've carved out my calendar for you this morning. I'm so happy to be here.
Okay, well, let me keep you for 15 more, and then let me take a break, and then hold you for 15 more, because, you know, the last thing I want to talk about, and before we, you know, then giving you the last part of this, is our forest and lack of whatever's going on. We can only burn so much, and every year we hear this is going to be the worst year, and every year you think it can't be worse than last year, and then we're wrong. And they're saying it again this year. So I'd like to hear what your ideas are for taking, you know, for literally taking a hold of what's happening in our forest and fixing that.
Wonderful.
Okay. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading at 2225 Hilltop Drive. This is a great place. This is the place to go. You know, Mother's Day is coming up. You know, you've got birthdays. You got all types of neat things happening. And Four Winds Jewelry is there to help you. Great selection of jewelry at very fair prices. Super people down there. Open Monday through Friday. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back with Jenny Ray LaRue.
Every time I look into your loving eyes, I see love that money just can't buy.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Shasta County voters, Stephanie Bridget is perpetrating a public safety hoax.
Pull the curtains back. Look through the smoke and mirrors.
Recently, Bridget claimed a 92% conviction rate in 2021. The truth? Bridget lost 18 out of 33 felony trials. More pathetic, Bridget lost 5 of 7 cases involving sex crimes on young children. Overall, Bridget has a 63% conviction rate on all felonies. Do you feel safer now? Stephanie Bridget, it's time for the public to know the truth. Prove your numbers.
Paid for by Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidates or candidates.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hello, Shasta County. My name is Chris Kellstrom, and I'm running for District 5 Supervisor. I am not a career politician, nor do I ever want to be. In fact, when I'm elected, I will immediately push for term limits for the Shasta County Board, the current board, as well as future boards. County politics should not be a career move. Overseeing a safe, frugal, friendly, and efficient county government should be seen as a civic duty, not a decades-long employment strategy. A vote for Chris Kellstrom is a vote for term limits and a more efficient, friendly county government. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kelstrom, Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
Do you love country music? Come see Curb recording artist Dylan Scott perform live in concert Friday, July 8th inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Tickets are $60 plus fees.
For tickets, call 1-800-280-UWIN.
A must-see show. Country sensation Dylan Scott in concert at Wind River Resort and Casino Friday, July 8th. Concerts are better at the river.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risks to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're here 7 to 9 AM, Monday through Friday. This portion of the show is brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash. Yeah, spring on over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way, next to Dutch Bros. This is a great place to get your car or truck wash. That's where I get mine done. Makes it look brand new if you ignore the dents and the scrapes and all those things, but paint's great. Buy 5 car wash coupons, you get one free, or buy 10 and get 3 free over at Quick and Clean Car Wash. Hey, on the line we have Jenny Ray LaRue, who is running for governor. She's a local lady, but she's been, she's got the background and the business background. Don't sell her short just because she's from Shasta County. She's been around, and she's started businesses, rebuilt businesses, a number of things. And we've been talking about public safety, we've been talking about water, and now we're going to talk about wildfires. Your thoughts, Jenny Ray.
You bet. Well, you know, this is something that you don't learn at Columbia Business School, or I don't spend a lot of time teaching this when I'm at Harvard Business School or at Stanford, but wildfires are, you can solve them in the same way that you solve business problems. You understand what the root cause issue is and figure out how to get rid of it. And so our root cause issue for the reasons that we have so many wildfires is not that more wildfires start today. In fact, the average number of wildfires per year has not changed in the last 40 years in California. The reason that we feel like wildfires are worse is because they are larger on average, significantly larger. And those large wildfires are the ones that create smoke, that clog their skies. They're the ones that threaten our homes and our businesses, and they're what we should really be concerned about. So, you know, over the time that I've lived in Shasta County for the last 14 years, wildfires have gotten worse, and I've wondered why and what the issues were, but I honestly didn't know if there was anything that we could do to fix it. So I went to the heart of the matter. I went and visited some foresters throughout the state, and they all have one common answer for why we have such crazy wildfires. That's that we have too much density in our forests. And one of the women put it specifically, very clearly, she said, you know, if you have a bonfire with 2 pieces of wood or a bonfire with 20 pieces of wood, which one is larger? So, again, you know, Gavin Newsom would like to blame this on drought. He would like to blame it on change. And here's the issue. It's not either one of those. You can actually directly see that we have too much growth in our forests. And we have 33 million acres of forests a year. Right now, on average, we're burning about 4 million of those acres in catastrophic wildfires. My question has been, how do you end wildfires? And the answer is, number one, we need to manage our forests. That means that we need to allow timbering and selective cutting. That does not mean clear cutting. That is not the current practice of timbering today. The second is that we need to enable, once that clearing has happened, we need to enable controlled burns. We need to restore grazing in our forests to keep down the fuel levels. The additional pieces are, however, that we need to improve early detection of wildfires. And I've met with 2 companies in the Bay Area that are working on artificial intelligence to use cameras that are installed all throughout the forest to send a snapshot up to the cloud every 3 minutes and to analyze it for a fire footprint. If we had a 3-minute cycle of fire detection instead of what can sometimes be a 2-hour or even up to an 8-hour detection period, then those fires don't get out of control. And so everything needs to work together. Just detecting fires faster doesn't actually mean that we'll have a higher likelihood of smaller fires or less catastrophic wildfire. But everything working together means that we can do what I really care about, which is conserve nature. I love our environment. One of the reasons I love living in California is for the beauty and the access that we have to that beauty, but we're destroying it through these wildfires right now, and we need to stop that.
We've got just a few minutes left. What do you want, Jenny Ray, what do you want people to remember and think of when they think of you?
Yeah, here's a couple of things. First of all, I'm doing this as an act of public service, and my family and I have a really amazing life. This is a sacrifice for us to step up into the public square. And for many years, I didn't do that because I just thought, what a hardship to be in public office. I should just leave it to the people who seem really like they're cut out for it. The problem is that I have a lot of skills and experience from the business world in solving problems, in great ideas and implementation, but probably more importantly, what we need in Shasta County and more broadly in California is a new culture from our government. We need a government that is focused on customer service, a government that does not stop because everything is possible, a government that doesn't sit in excuses, but rather does what it has pledged itself to do to people. And that's what we don't have in Sacramento today. That's why I'm running for office. I'm running to create the future that I want to live in, that I want for my kids and for my grandkids, and I'm doing the same thing for all of you. And so if you want to get involved, I'd love to invite anybody to do that. You can find out more information at our website at jennyrayca.com. And our focus, really right now, is on active fundraising. I was endorsed by the CRA, the California Republican Assembly, and I'm pursuing endorsement this weekend from the California GOP. But we're in a real full-on battle for the state. So especially if you're listening and you don't love career politicians and don't think that they do the right thing for us, donate, and we'll get the message out to more people that way. That's the most effective way that you can get on board and help with us.
Okay, so your websites and all that?
Yep, so Jenny Ray, C-A, JennyRayCA.com. And otherwise, we've got all of that same information is on our social channels, Instagram, Facebook, even TikTok, Jenny Ray, C-A, JennyRayCA.
Well, I can tell you that your website's great, and it's easy to use, and it says, no, I mean that. It shows exactly where you stand, and you address safety, schools, housing, water, electricity, forest, and unleashing business innovation. So the next time we talk, we can talk about that.
Fantastic. Well, I'm so glad that you like my website. I actually do have the best team in the business. I have a team that's the best in California, and I also have national people that are working on this race because California matters not just to California, but it matters to America. And so if you want to know more about my team, you can see some of the folks that are on there. One of President Trump's senior political advisors is a senior advisor to my campaign. The person who's run winning campaigns in multiple states for governors is the lead consultant on the campaign. And I also just have the best core team. So if you write us, you'll hear back from us. It's kind of remarkable that the standards are that low. But when people hear from us and they say, wow, you wrote us back, that's exactly the standard that we set in my business, and it's what we do for public office as well. So you write to us, you'll hear from us. That's what our pledge to you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and be safe in your trip.
Thank you so much, Carl. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Northern Firearms Instruction is now the largest privately owned firearms instruction company in California. They not just in the 45 different places they used to teach. They have now been brought on with Legal Heat a national firm to teach in all of the Sportsman's Warehouses, the Cabela's, the Bass Pro Shops throughout California. All this at Northern Firearms Instruction, and why? Because they have the best trained team. They have a total, every one of the instructors are NRA instructors with classroom training. They can train not only in CCW, but also advanced pistol classes, tactical rifle, long-range precision rifle, shotguns. They cover it all. Learn more at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 530-999-1822. We'll be right back.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Everyone should feel safe in Shasta County, period. This is Baron Browning. Being a father and a Marine, and the Mayor of Anderson has taught me that effective leadership comes from the willingness to put your own agenda aside and communicate with everyone. The people of Anderson did just that, and together we've made it one of the greatest and safest communities to live in. Let's make sure that all of our public safety personnel are not hamstrung with low funding and staffing by providing them the resources needed to keep our community safe. Vote Baron Browning for Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Shasta High School Music Department presents their 53rd annual musical Fiddler on the Roof. A story about the struggles to balance tradition and culture while allowing growth in a small Eastern European village. Production dates are May 5th through the 7th and May 12th through the 14th in Reading. This Tony Award-winning show will include famous music from a live orchestra. Reserved seating tickets are $20 and opening weekend tickets for K-12 students are only $5. For more information, visit ShastaHighChoir.com or call 530-341-2988.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Well, my name's John Lee Pettimore. Same as my daddy and his daddy.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. We're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM. At 7:50 in the morning here on the 19th of April, which is, I know I keep saying it, but it's tax day today. Because they gave us an extension for one more day to keep our money. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. If you're not getting treatment for a work-related injury because of a denial, give Patrick a call at 530-262-2168 for a free consultation. Work injuries are life-changing. And if you're not getting the treatment that you should get, give Patrick a call. You know, your insurance companies have got like dozens, if not hundreds, of lawyers working for them. You need somebody that's going to fight for you. And Patrick Gorman is a veteran of the 101st Air Assault Group, former law enforcement officer, and then went to law school. He's going to fight for you. He's a bulldog. Give him a call at 530-262-2168 today. Some things are happening. Of course, today is the Board of Supervisors who's having their meeting. And a number of things they're going to be talking about today. Wind River Casino, what they're saying is they're going to take a look at voting to send another letter withdrawing their opposition to the Wind River Casino being built along the I-5, the future of the old Shasta Fire Department, and whether or not Cal Fire could take over its jurisdiction. There's going to be a closed meeting. They're going to be discussing a performance evaluation of County Executive Officer Matt Pontes at the request of Supervisor Patrick Jones. So it's going to, of course, start today at 9. Now, Matt Pontes issued a statement on Monday, and the Board of Supervisors, and what he's saying is the Board of Supervisors' agenda includes a closed session performance evaluation for me at the request of Jones. I don't know. I know that the Dr. Karen Ramstrom, and I know they were talking about the council Cruz, and they were talking about Matt Pontes. But it appears that, you know, from my understanding, it was that Pontes really wasn't in that much trouble. However, it seems here that from his statement, he, and this is his words now, recently my personal history as a very young man, excuse me, has been brought forward by Supervisor Jones in another attack and attempt to destroy my professional career and disrupt and destroy county leadership. In the last few months, I have been threatened, blackmailed, subject to their hostile efforts. Now Jones is actively attempting to compromise my career in county senior leadership. He asked that Supervisor Jones asked for his resignation last week as an alternative to this information becoming public. It appears that Mr. Pontes has, back when 28 years ago, when he was 20 years old, it appears, he committed a petty, this is from him, I committed a petty theft offense. There were other parties involved, however, and I pled to a felony embezzlement charge for $420. I immediately accepted responsibility, was accountable and apologetic for my actions. Given the facts and history and working through the legal process, it was fully expunged. My record completely cleared and has been so ever since. He's 100% of my background was presented to the Board of Supervisors as part of the hiring process. I was very honest and fully disclosed the facts of this incident that occurred almost 30 years ago. The board was fully made aware and moved forward with the appointment. So he made a mistake back when he was 20 years old or 19 or 20, something like that. And he is saying that Patrick Jones has said that he wanted him to resign because of this. Now, I haven't talked to Patrick Jones, but this just hit the wires this morning. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. So we should be getting some things. And I'm going to try and get a hold of Patrick Jones this morning and see what he said. Because it's a little bit different from the last time I talked. So that's coming up. That's one of the big things that's going on today at the Board of Supervisors meetings. The other thing that's happening in our lives is that the airlines have lifted the mask requirements for the first time in 2 years. It seems to be there's the judge down in Florida has said that, no, you can't keep extending it. No. You keep extending it over and over again, and no, he put an injunction on it. So, United, American, Southwest, Delta, Alaska, and other lines late Monday said they were dropping the face mask requirements effective immediately given a federal judge ruling in Florida and the White House response to it. The mask mandate announced in January 2021 had been set to expire Monday. But the CDC announced last week they wanted to keep it in place till May 3rd to allow more time to study the Omicron. It was the mask mandate's fifth extension despite repeated requests from airlines and other travel industry officials to ease restrictions. So now the airlines are just saying, nope, you do not have to wear mask on our airlines. Now, they also pointed out that you know they're going to go by the local. Now this is for employees and customers at U.S. airports and on domestic flights. Now they may still be required based on local ordinances that says the airports have to wear masks and TSA is going to say you have to wear a mask until all this filters down. But as soon as you get by that, you no longer have to wear a mask. I don't know how many people have had to fly wearing a mask, but it is burdensome. Can I say that? I was flying to Chicago last year, and I was wearing my mask. I started out with the N95 and realized after like a half an hour that was going to make me crazy. So I had my little cloth mask in there and put that on. And my friend who was sleeping next to the window, and there was nobody between us there. He was sleeping next to the window, had his mask on, but while he was sleeping, it kind of fell down below his nose. And the airline attendant looks at me and she says, could you wake him up, please, and tell him to put his mask up? And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. So she had to lean over and wake him up. Hey, sir, could you pull your mask up? And Seth, being the good young man that he is, just looked at her and he pulled his mask up and went back to sleep. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. So anyway, so American, Delta, United, Southwest, JetBlue, Alaska, and masks are optional. Let me put it this way. If you want to wear your mask, you can still wear your mask, but you're not forced to wear your mask, which should have been like this for a long time. But, you know, hey, if you can control us, control us any way you can. Frontier Airlines, Spirit Airlines, everyone that you're going to be flying on. I've got to look up Avelo. Here it is. Masks are no longer required for customers or crew members. If you feel more comfortable still wearing yours, go right ahead, the airline tweeted. If any questions, feel free to reach out to us. Now, Avelo Airlines, of course, is our newest airline that flies to L.A., to Burbank and then to Las Vegas. So now you don't have to cover your face when you're flying to Vegas. You can get ready early. When we come back from the news, we have John Green, who is candidate for Shasta County Sheriff, will be joining us for an hour. If you have questions for John Green, Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're going to talk about, you know, this is not his first rodeo as far as running for office, and what he wants to accomplish if indeed he wins, and any changes that he would make. That'll be right after the news, and we'll be going to that right now.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Airline passengers erupting in cheers and applauding following word that the Biden mask requirement for travelers was struck down by a federal judge in Florida.
Judge Catherine Kimball Mazel, an appointee of former President Trump, wrote that the CDC exceeded its statutory authority with the order. Mazel added that the CDC had also failed to follow the rulemaking processes laid out in the law and provide a sufficient justification for its mandate.
That's correspondent Bernie Bennett. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki calls the ruling disappointing.
The CDC continues recommending wearing a mask in public transit.
She says the administration is reviewing its options, including the possibility of litigation. The long-awaited Russian offensive has been launched on a wide front across eastern Ukraine.
Ukrainian authorities say that the Russian military is focusing on taking control of the Donbas region, the country's eastern industrial heartland. The stepped-up assaults began a day earlier along a front of more than 300 miles, centering on the Donbas regions of Donetsk and Luhansk. The Russian forces tried to advance in several sections, including from the neighboring Kharkiv region. I'm Karen Chemas.
And the International Monetary Fund downgrading the outlook for the global economy this year and next, blaming Russia's war in Ukraine for disrupting global commerce, driving up oil prices, threatening food supplies, and increasing uncertainty already heightened by the coronavirus pandemic. A judge has denied a motion to reduce the bond of the jailed parents of a Michigan teen charged in a fatal shooting at his high school. James and Jennifer Crumley disappeared the day before they were charged with involuntary manslaughter. They're being held on $500,000 bond each. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is up 328 points, the NASDAQ ahead 205 points, and the S&P better by 50 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm about to compare a pepper shaker to a cash-out refinance. Hang with me. You know when you're at a restaurant and they ask, would you like some fresh ground pepper? And then they crank that giant tube, but almost nothing comes out? For me, only a certain amount of time is socially acceptable to wait. I know that getting that pepper out might make my life better, but it just seems too impossible. And that's what we hear people say about the cash-out refinance. People realize that the value of their home has gone up like hot pepper the last few years, leaving all this extra money sitting inside their home. But is it too hard to get out? It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage. If you're interested in cashing out the extra pepper in your home, we're good at doing all the work while you just sit back and relax. And often, your mortgage payment and years in the loan will stay the same. If you'd like to hear about your options,
we are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage, 425 Neville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Israel carrying out its first airstrikes on the Gaza Strip in months. The Israeli military says it came in response to a Palestinian rocket attack.
Sirens sounded in southern Israel overnight before an explosion was heard. The Israeli military said a rocket was intercepted using the Iron Dome missile defense system. Hours later, it said it had hit a weapons manufacturing site belonging to the militant group Hamas in retaliation. Flames and smoke could be seen in Gaza. But there were no reports of injuries on either side.
That's the BBC's Yolande Dell in Jerusalem. An Israeli official say the country's new laser missile defense system has successfully intercepted mortars, rockets, and anti-tank missiles. In some recent tests, the Israeli-made laser system known as the Iron Beam is designed to complement a series of aerial defense systems, including the more costly rocket-intercepting Iron Dome system. News and analysis at townhall.com. A California woman says that, yes, she did do it.
Sherry Papini of Redding, California, pleaded guilty Monday to faking her own kidnapping in 2016 and lying to the FBI about it. Papini offered no explanation for what prosecutors say was an elaborate, long-planned hoax that saw her actually stay with a former boyfriend in Orange County, California, nearly 600 miles from her home. The 39-year-old Papini reached a deal with prosecutors last week to plead guilty, and she's scheduled to be sentenced July 11th. Prosecutors agreed to recommend a sentence on the low end of the sentencing range, estimated to be between 8 and 14 months in custody. I'm Mike Rossia.
A judge ruling that Amazon must reinstate a former warehouse employee fired in the early days of the pandemic, saying that the company unlawfully terminated the worker who led a protest calling on Amazon to do more to protect its employees from COVID-19. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. It's Tuesday. Today, the 19th of April. Do I need to say it's tax day again? It was postponed from yesterday due to glitches in the federal government. I know that's hard to believe. 8:05 in the morning here, and the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared's at the helm. It's National Remembrance Day from the Oklahoma bombing happened. And what was it, 1990? When was it?
95.
Okay. What's the weather look like, buddy?
It's currently 49 degrees. Today, it looks like we're going to have showers, 80% chance of showers, then cloudy tonight with a high of 64, low of 44. Tomorrow, rain, high of 58, low of 45. On Thursday, showers, and then showers likely Thursday night with a high of 59, a low of 44. On Friday, rain likely, then mostly clear Friday night with a high of 65, a low of 43. On Saturday, it's going to be sunny with a high of 73 and a low around 47. And on Sunday, sunny with a high around 80 and a low around 51.
Okay. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, Anderson-based business, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. All the propane comes out of one tank, essentially. So it comes down to customer service. And Shasta Gas Propane and the Kinney family have set new levels of performance for helping customers out. Their motto, our customers are warm friends, and that's just the way they treat people. At Shasta Gas Propane, give them a call at 365-3793. I'm here with John Green, candidate for Shasta County Sheriff. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, you know what? You've been on before, but it's been a while.
I have. About 4 years ago.
About 4 years ago, yeah, when you're running and all that. Things have changed a little bit. We've had two sheriffs since then.
Three. Yeah, Tom DeSenko and then the two
appointees. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Tell us a little bit about John Green.
Yeah, well, I'm local for 40 years now. I moved up when I was 15 with my parents and went to West Valley High School, graduated, second graduating class. Went to a few colleges, Shasta College being one of them also, and started working for the sheriff's office in 1990 and worked there a little over 27 years. Various assignments throughout the throughout my long career here within the sheriff's office. In fact, I don't think there's a division that I haven't worked in or worked closely with, except never assigned to the coroner's office, which was fine by me. So,
this seems like such an important job, but it just seems like when you see coroner's office, mm-hmm. it just seems, I don't know, there's a connotation to it.
Yes. It's very well, very much needed. I worked closely, had some really good lifetime best friends that ran that office at different times. So I got to know their operation very well there. So, so 27 years exclusively with Shasta County, serving the citizens here, and been married for 34 years now. Have three adult children and five little grandchildren. So just enjoying life.
Well, okay, so Obviously, you're enjoying life, and now you're throwing yourself into the race.
I have, you know, and it's
not the first time.
It's not the first time, and in fact, when I filed to run and the campaign started again, it's like it never stopped from 4 years ago. It was deja vu times infinity. You know, it was like it never stopped. So, my wife thinks I need to have my head examined, but darn it, you know, I just felt the need, especially over the last. The last term, you know, when the elected sheriff, you know, retired a year into his term and then two subsequent appointments, you know, I think it's taken the voice of the people away, and so I wanted to give him another option, you know, coming to a vote here, and so I had to think long and hard about it, talk to my family and some close friends of mine, and you know, I need to do it again the way I did it last time and for the same reasons. You know, I believe the citizens of Shasta County have been suffering for a long, long time, and that's why I ran last time. And I didn't see it getting any better with the appointments, and so I had to do it again to give the voters a choice.
What do you see as the biggest problem facing the Shasta County Sheriff's Office?
You know, the biggest problem that needs to be addressed rapidly is the lack of jail space, which has been ongoing since when I started in 1990. The jail was already full. They had people living in the property room, you know, on rollaway bunks. You know, it was a madhouse. It was just and at that time the jail was only about 4 or 5 years old when I started. Uh-huh. And so it's been overcrowded ever since, and it just amazes me that nothing has been done over the years to actually, you know, address the problem and fix it. So, you know, there are plans, or it's an idea, a concept right now for a huge facility to offer the incarceration space and services, which are in dire need. I mean, that goes right behind jail space, is the services for mental health and addiction treatment for these people who are in custody. And
do you believe that we could solve a lot of our problems if we could be able to get these people the treatments they needed, and the ones that are addicted, the ones who are mentally off because they're self-medicated? Mm-hmm. Would we need a new jail then?
You know, you're always going to need jail space. There are always going to be those people who are resistant to treatment and do not want it. You know, we've had some, I've had some personal issues, not myself, but personal, as far as family members who have succumbed to addiction and subsequent criminal issues during that I've had to deal with over the last decade or so. Mm-hmm. You know, and the bottom line is you can offer all the services you want, you know, till the cows come home, but unless that person's ready to make the change themselves, nothing's going to help. And that's one of the roughest things that you learn when you're learning about the addiction and these mental health issues that are related to it, that's the hardest thing as a family member to realize, is that nothing's going to happen until they hit rock bottom. So, the services do need to be there. They need to be bolstered. I know Health and Human Services is has offered services, to help alleviate some of that over the years. And it's just been kind of turned away by the leaders of the sheriff's office. This is going back into Tom Basinko's tenure there. Didn't really want to have anything to do with Health and Human Services coming in and trying to help treat and pay, you know, as far as medically assisted treatment for somebody who comes in that's addicted, and to get them off of whatever they've been abusing. You know, they've shown that it's more effective to do it medically assisted with a physician and counseling and do it the right way rather than
so
the cold turkey.
Should there be room in the jail for that? In other words, you know, when One Safe Place started, it took all of the different programs to help domestic violence and put it under kind of like a one roof. Mm-hmm. So you got like, I hate to put it this way, but one-stop shopping right there. Do you think that there needs to be areas like that in the jail so that they've got them right there?
I do. And like I said, Health and Human Services over the years has offered to come in and they will pay for the incarceration rate of the individual that's in there. once they've been identified as a candidate for these programs, mm-hmm. and provide the physician, provide the medication through their funding, which will alleviate a little bit of the jail budget. But I've identified several areas that.
I tell you what, we need to take a break. Yeah. Why don't we talk about that when we get back? Because this is so important. The jail kind of, if we have the jail space, it could solve a lot of the problems we have. This portion of the show brought to you by Redding Electric Utility. They've got a rebates available that can help offset the cost of an electric vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofredding.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. And I can just tell you, I rode my first Tesla the other day, and I was totally surprised by the amount of power that's in that car. I mean, you think about electric cars. I think I have a whiplash from riding in one of the Teslas. However, Teslas still need to be recharged, or any electric car. But if you're thinking about it, REU has got rebates available. We'll be right back.
Hello, Shasta County. My name is Chris Kellstrom, and I'm running for District 5 Supervisor. I am not a career politician, nor do I ever want to be. In fact, when I'm elected, I will immediately push for term limits for the Shasta County Board, the current board, as well as future boards. County politics should not be a career move. Overseeing a safe, frugal, friendly, and efficient county government should be seen as a civic duty, not a decades-long employment strategy. A vote for Chris Kellstrom is a vote for term limits and a more efficient, friendly county government. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
Did you know staying active can reduce your risk of developing Alzheimer's and dementia by 45%? 2.5 hours of moderate physical activity each week is recommended. Activity for 15 to 20 minutes a day can make a difference. Take a walk, go for a swim, or dance in your living room. For more healthy brain tips and resources on Alzheimer's and dementia, visit ShastaHealthyBrain.com. This message is from Shasta County Health and Human Services, supported by the California Department of Public Health Alzheimer's Disease Program Healthy Brain Initiative.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Just in time for Mother's Day. From cottage to culture, whimsical garden accessories, and fashionable jewelry, including pendants, pins, and pearls, you'll find them at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 6, Sunday noon to 5, closed on Tuesdays. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. Call 530-365-1399. That's 530-365-1399.
Remember us, the Chula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I!
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's DISH services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl and Linda Bodlin is on assignment this morning. This portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. Look, if you've had it with cleaning the yard and plumbing problems and all those things that you face with that house, and you're ready to go live in a beautiful place with really nice people, a gourmet chef fixing your meals for you, someplace that's pet-friendly, then you need to see River Commons Senior Living. You need to give Brian Martin a call at 238-5981 for a personalized tour. Have lunch with everybody and see why this is Northern California's premier retirement community. River Commons Senior Living. Worry less, smile more. I'm here with John Green, candidate for sheriff, but somebody just also walked in here, and it's Shasta County Supervisor Patrick Jones. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl, and thank you, John, for letting me interrupt. You know, I hate interrupting the next sheriff of Shasta County. Boy, that could really cost me.
Yeah, no worries.
So I was driving in, and I heard your show, because I always listen to your show, and best show in town, and I heard about our CEO's...
The press release, it just hit last night. Yeah.
Right. So... So a little clarity. So on April the 8th, this information came to me about felony convictions for Matt Pontus, including but not limited to embezzlement. That was in 94, and then also other thefts that occurred in 97, and I think others that occurred before 94. So this was pretty shocking to me. I met with CEO Matt Pontus on the 11th. I confronted him. He did admit to committing the felony. I said I'd like to have this in closed session to discuss it with the board. He asked if we could talk more about it. I said I just would feel more comfortable talking about it with the board. I did not ask for his resignation. I asked for this to be in closed session so the board could talk about it. And ultimately, it's going to be up to the community. If the community is okay with having a convicted felon of embezzlement as your CEO, I think that's an important issue. It just came to me. It's not attorney-client privileged information, and I was compelled to get the information out, as I believe it is my responsibility to do so.
Can people reform?
Sure, absolutely. And I give credit to Matt for improving his life and moving forward. The question here is we have a $600 million budget, and with a past criminal history, do you want your CEO to have a convicted felony for embezzlement in that position? Many other positions, it would not be an issue, but I think in this particular case, it should be discussed, and that's all I'm asking for is a closed session, which we'll be doing today, to discuss if everybody was aware of this and if they're comfortable with this, and also an opportunity for the community to weigh in to see if they're, you know, if this past behavior is appropriate for this current position.
Okay.
Now, I didn't destroy, nor am I trying to destroy Matt Pontus. His background is his background. My background is my background. I just want the truth to be known.
Okay. Well, thanks, Patrick, for stopping by.
Thank you, guys, and thank you, John. Appreciate it. It's going to be a fun year. June 7th coming up quick.
Yeah, it is. June 7th is coming up quick.
It is.
Yeah. I think we're less than 50 days now. Well, people listen to the show here, and we get our phone calls and stuff. And that's what you just heard Patrick Jones say. What he's not asking for his resignation, according to Patrick. He's wanting just to discuss this issue in a closed session with all the supervisors. Now, Les Baugh, and I'm not sure, maybe Mary Rickard, but Les Baugh for sure was there when they hired Matt.
Yeah, I believe it was Baugh, Rickard.
Well, Modi.
Modi, yeah. Comente and
was Comente possibly, there too?
I think he was. Yeah, he won.
Well, he's been here, but Pontus has been here. Well, yeah, he must have been.
Yeah, he was. Pontus was brought in after Larry Leese, which was after Tom Basenko's resignation or retirement.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it might have even been Steve Morgan. I don't know.
He could be. But, I imagine it was before Jones. But it would be interesting. Here, my thing is what I asked Patrick is, can people reform themselves?
Oh, so, yeah. I believe so.
Yeah, I do too. The fact is, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Okay. Sorry to take away the time, but that's important since you've got one side, now you got the other side on this.
Absolutely, and that's why I'm here, and you know, just to get inform the public and give them a choice,
right?
You know, because that's ultimately what it comes down to is serving the citizens that pay taxes, is giving them a choice and a voice in their government.
And that's what we've seen here with we have two people running for DA, two people running for county clerk, we have two people running for superintendent of schools. See who else? Two people for sheriff, of course,
yes.
and then numerous people running for
the other
two districts. And I think it's important that people are given a choice and be able to listen to both sides like that. Now, going back to the jail, mm-hmm. I've been told since I've been sitting in here for 12 years that we need a 1,000-person jail.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
I would agree that, yes, that you got to have that space. And you know, the unfortunate reality of it is no matter how many beds you put up, it's going to be full. Mm-hmm. It's going to be full because you have more space. You're going to keep more people. You're not going to catch and release. When I would go back to when I started in the jail, there were people doing 6 months for driving on a suspended license. Granted, it was their third or fourth violation.
Sure.
But, you know, there were people actually doing significant time in the county for you know, what a lot of people would believe is a petty offense, you know, and then, you know, petty thefts with a prior that get upgraded to a felony. So the people were doing serious jail time on that. And since then, you know, the only people that are in jail are either the sentenced. A lot of them could have been sentenced to state due to AB 109 there in the county. So we've got those people. We've got serious criminal charges, people with those type of charges occupying jail time to them and sentence.
Yeah, so, waiting for trial for murder, armed robbery, rape, and all these. And so you got to keep those.
And pretty much anything less, it's they're out the door. They get a citation, a notice to appear, an ornery cognizance letter. You know, it's, yeah.
Well, Bill Shuler said that it's about 500 people commit like 95% of the crimes in the town. That seemed like a large number, but, you know, hey, I can go for that. So for every one of those you take off the streets and you can lock up, crime drops.
Right. I guess under those numbers, if you locked up those 500 people, we'd have a 90% reduction in crime. But, I'm sure that they are, that is significant to quantify that, I think, would be very difficult, but as repeat offenders, but
yeah. Well, but still, you know, even if it's 250, I mean, if you could take 250 off the streets, I have a feeling it'd be a lot safer out there.
Absolutely.
Do you think it's getting more violent out there, Joe?
I think it is. I think it is. In the day of social media, you're seeing a lot more of what's going on out there. Granted, we don't see a lot of videos on YouTube or Facebook that are related to our area, but they're close by. I mean, you're talking San Francisco, you're talking Portland, you know, these are, you know, and these people travel through here. So going back and forth and to those areas. So it's coming. It's coming.
We've watched it come from the South. Rob Pelletti many years ago, said, he talked about the heroin was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, no, it's down in Sacramento. It'll work its way up here. So now we're seeing the violence, the gang shootings and all that in Sacramento. Is it working its way north?
Oh, it's working, if it's not already here, out in the outskirts. You know, I saw an arrest that
Reading PD made with a felon in possession of firearms and a stolen vehicle. And they were from out of the area, you know, closer south to Orland, I believe, Orland, Oroville, somewhere.
Yeah, something like
so,
that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely working its way up there. You know, what are they doing up in Reading? You know, they're looking for crimes to commit and then go back home.
How do we get money? Where's the money come for this jail?
You know, this was part of my campaign last time is after Assembly Bill 109 passed and Prop 49 passed reducing the crimes, that they kind of went hand in hand.
Yeah.
You know, reducing crimes from felonies to misdemeanors, making a lot of violent felonies, nonviolent felonies. And so then AB 109 made it where the people who would have normally been sentenced to state prison under those crimes for being violent or a serious felony, now it's not a violent felony. So the under AB 109, now the state pushed those inmates to the county. So somebody could commit a burglary and normally be sentenced to 16 months, 2 years, or 3 years in state prison. And if it was a nonviolent burglary, guess what? Shasta County Jail is holding that those people for their term instead of sending them to state prison. So now they're a resident of the county for 3 years, and that money, there was money offered. I believe it was about $30 million, you know, 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, 10 years ago. It's mm-hmm. going back. Then that was turned down by the board at the time because, well, we don't have the money to operate it when it's open. You know, and then fast forward another few years, and this was one of my campaign platforms last time, is there was $40 million available, and there were some accounting errors on the proposal from the sheriff's office at the time. And I know this because I was working in the administration part of the sheriff's office at the time. Uh-huh. You know, went to the board, same thing. Oh, we can't operate it. Once, and then the state will take it back. Well, that's not true. You know, you only have to operate a certain percentage of it, and you can still keep it open, and you can work to keep those open. So we really dropped the ball back then.
Yeah, just because it's built doesn't mean we have to fill it up.
Correct.
And as we got more funding, as we found out that we would be,
yes,
that we
yes.
could do that.
And yeah. there still is money available out there through the state. And in fact, I would rather see, rather than having these public information officers throughout the county, you know, make it almost $100,000 a year to put out Facebook videos and TikTok and Instagrams, hire grant writers, you know, to get these grants and get the money here and get the projects started. You know, it's been 4 years since I ran last time, and absolutely nothing has been done. You know, there were a few beds retrofitted in the kitchen basement, part of the jail, which added,
I think, six showers that could put in a whole lot more people.
Correct. Yeah, there is a thing in Title 15 about how many showers per inmate that you have to have to be able to house them. But
and frankly, when you hold people this long in a jail that was meant to hold people for a year, you just know that there's lawyers are circling like buzzards around the jail for all types of ADA and these kind of things. You know, we need to expand. We're here with John Green, candidate for Shasta County Sheriff. We're going to take a quick break. Shasta Regional Medical Center is one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals recognized by the Watson Health Institute. It just got an A rating from the Leapfrog organization that rates all hospitals in the United States. The Shasta Regional Medical Center is also one of the highest rated hospitals by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. You know, all of these things are going on. It's going to become a teaching hospital next year when they have 24 residents show up to be to do the residencies right here at Shasta Regional Medical Center. You know, it's your health, your choice. Why not go to the ones that are rated number one, Shasta Regional Medical Center? We'll be right back.
We just don't feel safe. Kids shot by stray bullets, gangs overrunning neighborhoods, children we know dying from drug poisonings, and the politicians supposed to be protecting us side with criminals or just don't care. California's never felt so hopeless.
I'm Nathan Hochman. California is under attack, and I intend to stop it. I've spent years prosecuting criminals. As an assistant U.S. Attorney General and head of a California fraud task force, I locked up violent criminals, drug traffickers, corrupt politicians, and financial predators. As Attorney General, I'll crack down on cartels and gangs. Get fentanyl and dangerous narcotics off the streets. Lock up violent criminals and prosecute corruption. My mission always has been and always will be to protect California families.
Nathan Hochman, an Attorney General who will keep us safe.
Paid for by Nathan Hochman for Attorney General 2022.
Gather your friends and family to share a meal. Seasons inside Wind River Resort and Casino is offering Easter brunch on Sunday, April 17th. Brunch 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. includes carving station with prime rib, baked ham, omelet station, assorted sides and desserts. See the full menu and prices at windriver.com. Children 5 and under free. Reservations suggested. Call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Leave Easter brunch to us and find your moment at the river.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and a tap house rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House. Pizza, pasta, grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
Billy Ray was the preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Cousin Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he looked into my eyes. Lord knows the man.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, if you suffered from an orthopedic injury, strain, or sprain, stop by Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance in the Sunset Shopping Center at 3673 Eureka Way. Trust me, physical therapists, Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang are there to get you back into shape. Well experienced working with the U.S. gymnastics team, and you're saying, well, I'm not on the U.S. gymnastics team. No, but they understand what makes things work and how to strengthen parts of your body. Give them a call at 533-5030. That's 533-5030. Going down there, they are experts. You know, as you get older, things just don't work like they used to. Okay, I'm here with John Green, who's running for Shasta County Sheriff. Good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
And the You need to drop that down. Okay. Drop it down just right there. Perfect. There. Okay. Yeah. We want to hear every tone.
I'm a rookie at this.
I know. Well, we'll get you into that. I thought you'd just been on, you know, a lot of shows or something like this. But it has been 4 years. Hey, Second Amendment. And
yes.
what are your thoughts? We talked about this during the break, but what do you believe about, you know, the Second Amendment?
I completely believe in the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms and that shall not be infringed upon, and I think it's the duty of the sheriff to be the first line of defense in that for the citizens he serves.
Okay. There's been talk about open carry in counties of our size.
Yes, the penal code, there is a subsection of the concealed carry portion of the penal code, and it allows for a sheriff of a county less than 200,000 population as of the last census, which we are, to institute open carry. And I think it would be my duty to do so. That being said, I do have concerns over that. Some of the concerns would be that it would increase police civilian contacts exponentially. So prior to doing that, I would seek out the training that the 43 other states and counties, I don't know actually how many counties in those states allow open carry, which I don't even like that word allow. We shouldn't have to allow the constitutional right to carry, but that's unfortunately how it's codified in state law.
Mm-hmm.
So to seek out training that they send their officers to on how to deal with open carry on a day-to-day basis. I think that's
There's a number of states that have open carry.
Yeah, I believe the last count was 43. And like I said, I don't have the count on the actual counties in those states that allow that. But
I know just three states just voted to allow that open carry. And now, if open carry is something that people have not seen before, and in California and in Shasta County, do you envision a training program for people?
I do. I think it would be imperative that we incorporate that training into the concealed weapons training, as you're well aware of, as an instructor yourself, that I think we should incorporate some type of training for open carry and case law, you know, things you can and can't do. Maybe add another day of training to the already two or another portion of it. I believe there's two portions right now, a classroom and a shooting. May add another day of that to have people understand case law, what they can and can't do, and, you know, ultimately on private property, it's up to the property owner whether you can do that or cannot do that. I would also like to get with all the law enforcement leaders within the county and get their take on it and how we can tackle this problem. Because, like I said, I believe as a constitutional sheriff, I believe it would be my duty to uphold the Constitution and make sure that people can exercise their rights.
What are some other things? You know, we hear that constitutional sheriffs. Mm-hmm. What are other things that the sheriff can do?
You know, the sheriff, and funny you mentioned that too, is I listened to your program last week, and you had, I believe it was Miss Nadine Bailey on.
Yeah.
You know, and she hit the nail on the head there about the power that the sheriff does have. And a lot of people don't know that. You know, and she was using the context of, I think it was, the water depletion and the potential for fires that are coming again because of all the growth that the sheriff can actually order, things to be done, if they are a public safety hazard, you know, by order of the sheriff.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that either. Yeah. Nadine's pretty much up on all that kind of stuff.
I found that. That was a very, very interesting and educational segment on your show. So, you know, the sheriff has an awful lot of power. If there's a public safety issue, the sheriff can remedy that. That's the power that the sheriff has. And I believe that, you know, in circumstances where you've got overgrowth, things like that, the sheriff can remedy that. You know, create the fire lines and get rid of that public hazard. You've got properties all over, you know, that are overrun with marijuana, illegal marijuana grows, that are a detriment. They're a public safety hazard. They bring in elements of criminals that we don't need here in Shasta County. And, I believe that has just been ignored for far too long. You know, and I think it's time that we have a sheriff in there that's actually working for the people.
The marijuana grows. Let's talk about those for a second. She also, or somebody came up, was on our show and said it's something like 6 gallons per plant, you know, per day or something like this. It's, you know, millions of gallons of water coming out of streams, coming out of the river, coming off people's property and all this, which is another problem we have with why we don't have a lot of water, why we're having water problems right now. You can blame it on the drought, but Jenny Ray LaRue and others have said, well, it's because for a variety of reasons.
Right.
But how do you envision going after marijuana? I mean, that takes money.
It does. The money's there. It's been there since, I believe, the second appointed sheriff, or if not prior to, you know, the state has the money, the county has the money right now. They're wanting to do that, and it's just a matter of actually doing it, you know, and we need somebody in there that is going to aggressively go after and collaborate with all the allied agencies, from the federal agencies to the state agencies. You know, you've got ICE, you've got the Bureau of Land Management, you've got the California Fish and Wildlife, and they all have marijuana eradication efforts going, and I think we need to partner with them at an aggressive level to get this done. But then again, it does take personnel. The money's there. It does take the personnel to do it, you know, and the sheriff's office has suffered from personnel, and the only thing I can think of is why they don't have the personnel. Obviously, it's because of the nationwide feeling against law enforcement that's been going on for several years. Is one, people don't really want to do that, but I don't think anybody wants to work for the sheriff's office. You know, they got a pretty good raise package a couple of years ago, brought them up comparable to other agencies, and the morale has always been low. And I believe that it's going to take an aggressive recruitment plan, which every time I say this, I get from the other side, oh, we're doing that. Well, it's not effective. It's not producing the results, the desired results that they want. So you need to make the Shasta County Sheriff's Office appealing to academy students. You need to make it appealing to our local youngsters that are getting into law enforcement, that are going down that road, and it's going to go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say I got to take a break here, but I would like to follow this up a little bit, because I've heard people say that this is the greatest, you know, this is a great place to live, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But these aren't law enforcement people, and they're saying, why do they need to pay so much? And I always ask people, you know, when they complain about that, well, why don't you go out and stack with them one day, going into a drug house and see how much that's worth? But it's more than just a good, great place to live that you've got to recruit people on.
We do.
And so
we have to reach out beyond what we're reaching out right now.
Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments only. You can give them a call at 244-9478. That's where I get my haircut. Only place I've had my haircut in Reading. I really like it there. The one thing that the barbers don't talk about, you ready? Politics. They don't talk about politics, and you probably don't want to with your barber. Why get them all spun up when they've got scissors around your ears? Cypress Square Barbershop, right across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. We'll be right back.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. Days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
Hello, Shasta County. My name is Chris Kellstrom, and I'm running for District 5 Supervisor. I am not a career politician, nor do I ever want to be. In fact, when I'm elected, I will immediately push for term limits for the Shasta County Board, the current board, as well as future boards. County politics should not be a career move. Overseeing a safe, frugal, friendly, and efficient county government should be seen as a civic duty, not a decades-long employment strategy. A vote for Chris Kellstrom is a vote for term limits and a more efficient, friendly county government. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
Stephanie Bridget boasts about her significant trial and leadership experience. Shasta County voters want the truth. Under Bridget's leadership, her team has failed to protect Shasta County families. In 2021, Bridget's team only won 63% of felony cases. In 2020, 65%. In 2019, bummer year, 55%. 2018, 56%. Unbelievable. These are some of the lowest numbers in the entire state of California. The conviction rate should be around 80 to 90%. Let's create a safer Shasta County by getting rid of Stephanie Bridget. Paid for by Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate.
Everyone should feel safe in Shasta County, period. This is Baron Browning. Being a father and a Marine, and the Mayor of Anderson has taught me that effective leadership comes from the willingness to put your own agenda aside and communicate with everyone. The people of Anderson did just that, and together we've made it one of the greatest and safest communities to live in. Let's make sure that all of our public safety personnel are not hamstrung with low funding and staffing by providing them the resources needed to keep our community safe. Vote Baron Browning for Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR. Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hey, I hope you're having a great day today. We're finally getting the rain that we need. Hopefully that we'll just have this all week long and we'll actually have a semblance of a snowpack, though I think it may be a little bit too late for that. 8:50 in the morning, and we're here with John Green, candidate for sheriff. And we've talked about the Second Amendment. We've talked about marijuana. We've talked about the new jail. Transparency. That's one of the things you want to talk about. So talk to me about transparency.
You know, I believe it's a fundamental requirement of government to be transparent to the citizens they serve. You know, and I just haven't seen that so much over the last couple of years, you know, and especially after Tom Bosinko retired a year into the term, and then the appointment of Eric McGreeny, and then the appointment of the current appointed sheriff. You know, it just didn't happen overnight. It wasn't that, you know, Mr. McGreeny resigned to a new position and then all of a sudden, oh, hey, here, you know, reach out to somebody else and hey, here's the job for you. You know, that takes months of construction prior to, you can't just do it overnight. And that gave the appearance of not being transparent, which I don't like. When Tom Bosinko retired, you know, I made a point to go to the board and say, hey, you know, I was runner up. It was a less than a 51-49 split. And, you know, I had, almost 22,000 votes, or I think it was 22,193 or somewhere around there, out of 44,000 votes. So it was super close. And it's like, hey, the people spoke, you know, and technically, yes, it was a loss, but, I was under the opinion that if Mr. McGreeny wanted to be sheriff, he should have ran for sheriff when I ran, against Tomasenko, knowing that he probably would not last an entire term. I didn't have that confidence that he would. I figured it'd be closer down towards the end of the term. But then again, too, Mr. Johnson, if he wanted to be sheriff, he should have ran for sheriff at that time. You know, to take an appointment so close to an election, I think is just as a disservice to the citizens, a further disservice. You know, they haven't had the accountability or the transparency they deserve over the last few terms. And I'm really, really big on that. And as far as transparency, part of my platform was also, you know, doing State of the Sheriff's presentations, you know, bi-monthly. Go to the community members, tell them, hey, this is our staffing level, this is our budget, here's where we're lacking, here's what we need, here are the crime trends, here's all the information you need to be informed of as a citizen of the county, so you can be assured that you're being protected, so you can be assured that you're getting the service you deserve.
When we talked about recruiting, you can't recruit just because it's a great place to live. I mean, that helps. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that the citizens of Shasta County support their law enforcement, unlike many other places in the states. What's the thing you can tell people at post or when you go down? I've always thought the military bases would be a great place, mm-hmm. you know, that they because a lot of Marines and sailors and soldiers get out every month.
Right, right. Wonderful group to cater to, as far and as well as the officers in the Southern California areas, the Central California yeah. areas. You know, you go down there, you advertise. Maybe you advertise with a local realty company to showcase, a local realty company here to showcase the relatively low cost of living and the affordability of houses comparative to the rest of the state. It's going to take. Thing, and I don't like this term either, but thinking outside the box, you've got to hit different areas, different markets. I also believe that we need to bolster the administration of justice programs at the local high schools here. They all need to have them. And we need to also look into getting an academy back here at Shasta College. We had one. I believe Siskiyou has a part-time one right now, and they're very effective raising and grooming their homegrown people, which I think is imperative. But to get the officer that has 5 years on, 6 years on, he's got a young family, Southern California, he's very self-sufficient. He can come up and within 6 weeks he's on his own already working. You need to appeal to those people throughout the state that would be a good fit for our county.
Well, that would include bonuses.
Yes, yeah, the sign-on bonuses that have been offered the last few years through the county, I believe they are getting there. Especially for correctional deputies, those guys are so overworked. You know, working five, six days a week, 12-hour plus shifts, they're getting burned out. You know, so we need to effectively recruit for the correctional deputies, in much in the same way. You know, there are, I believe there's only a handful of counties throughout the state that don't have correctional deputies. So, you know, hit those and show them, you know, hey, you know, life is good up here. And if you like the quality of life that we have up here and you want to help maintain it and raise your family in a good environment, come on up, you know. And
we have a great quality of life up here.
We do.
And, sometimes we have a tendency to focus on the homeless guy that's, you know, two doors down.
Right.
That's been staying there at night. But if you look at overall quality of life, it is part of the recruiting package.
It is.
So,
it is.
We're here with John Green, who is candidate for Shasta County Sheriff. I'll give you the last 3 minutes.
You bet. Like I said, I'm a law enforcement professional, with almost 28 years of over 28 years of service, including my service to the grand jury, which I did year before last. I was on the 2020-2021 grand jury, which I highly recommend to anybody out there who wants to volunteer some time and learn how the county operates and how the grand jury operates. We've hit some of my major campaign points here, and I really, really just
want to provide the citizens with the service they deserve, you know, professional, consistent, and competent leadership. And I believe that that's what the sheriff's office has been lacking for such a long period of time, is actually true leadership. There's a difference between management and leadership. You know, people manage things, leaders lead people. And we haven't seen that. We've seen management and management styles, and that turns a lot of people off. And I believe that pays a contributing factor into the sheriff's office losing personnel over the years, or you know, and word of mouth in the law enforcement community is a very big thing. And a lot of people do not want to go to work for an agency that is being micromanaged or overmanaged. You know, they want leaders. You know, as sheriff, I'd be out in a patrol car too. You know, if we're short staffed, you know, and the administration, the sheriff's administration, they don't like me so much, because I've made it very clear that when we're short staffed, rather than sitting behind a desk at a computer in a full uniform with a duty belt on, with a gun and handcuffs and all that, there's no reason you need to be sitting behind that computer when your deputies are out there going crazy. You know, get out there, handle some stuff, and let's be a solution to this ever growing problem of lack of resources. You know, there are resources, they've been trained, they can do it.
Every Marine's a rifleman. So I think it's probably what you're talking about here, that every sheriff's member of the sheriff's department can be out there.
That's right. That's right. Which would also free up to give a little more service to the outlying communities, you know, Shingletown, Lakehead, Burney. You know, if they have an extra deputy up there, you know, because of an administrator is down here actually handling some calls and directing things from the field rather than from behind the office, I think it's a benefit for everybody.
Okay. John Green, candidate for sheriff, ran 4 years ago, got 48% of the vote, I think, 48, 49, something like that. And how do people get a hold of you, John?
You know, I do have a new my website is back up, and it's John Green for sheriff, the number 4, sheriff. .com, and that's got links to my Facebook pages as well, and basically has my platform campaign on it and a lot of other information. So John Green, then the number 4, sheriff.com.
Okay. Hey, everybody, thanks a lot, John, for being with us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You bet. Everybody, hey, the Reading Rodeo is getting ready to start next month. If you haven't got tickets, you need to go to the readingrodeo.com and look at tickets, and it's going to be a great, great rodeo this year.